Okay. In the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. We are going to continue with our study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Any questions? This will be my last two sessions with you. Any questions? So are you happy with the explanation I gave you? Yes. I tell what, yeah? Write down your question first and quote all the verses so I can read. Thank you. Next question. This is the way out. Question concerning the lesson. Like what I said to you before, I'm very good at repeating myself, so it's no problem. Can I repeat? Hallelujah, I can repeat, no problem. Go on. Romans chapter 8. Okay. The whole thing. Okay. Look at chapter 8. Actually, it's in my handout. The explanation is given in my handout. Let me see. I'll tell you which page. Page 16 and 17. 16. It's there, anyway. 16, yeah? Okay. Oh, never mind. I'm going to repeat. Now we read verse 9. Okay, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Right? Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Okay, it's a conclusion given to, put this way, the case stated above, from verse 1 to verse 8. Alright? Now, my understanding is that Paul is talking about those who have lost the Spirit. Okay? Now, you know that a person who has received the Spirit should have a mindset that belongs to the Spirit, and obviously that must be reflected in his walk, meaning in his deeds. But it seems that here there were people who were very carnally minded, right? And that's why Paul came to such a conclusion in verse 9. Okay, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Okay, now, meaning I can have the Spirit, but I fail to yield to the Spirit, or I refuse to obey the Spirit. If I continue to grieve the Spirit, then what happens? The Spirit obviously will leave me. But if that is the case, if the Spirit of God is not in me, then I do not belong to God, because I'm a carnal person. Right? Now, I think I have also shown you an example in the book of Jude. Right, we turn to Jude. We turn to Jude. Yeah? In fact, what I have talked about for the past few days, all of them can be found in my lecture notes. Anyway. So actually, you don't have to copy down anything, to be honest. It's all there. Right. Jude, we read verse 18 and verse 19. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. Here is not talking about people who did not belong to the community of faith, right? And there were people who knew God and that belongs to the community. Now verse 19, these are sensual person who cause division, right? And not having the Spirit. Okay. So to me, Paul was talking about a special case where people grieve the Spirit or walk not according to the Spirit but according to the flesh. Yeah, it's like they went against God constantly. Okay, so it's very different from a case where we said a member who has been baptized and who is who is not who has not received the Spirit yet. Two different things. Okay. Yeah, any more question? I need to read through the passage first.
I'll ask again.
Yeah, maybe tonight. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. You know, because my brain is not functioning very well. So. No, I'm joking. Okay, go on. Question? No? Alright, if not, yeah, I tell you what, before I repeat myself, I want to talk about the early rain and the latter rain. Alright? We'll talk a bit about that. Again, you actually, to be honest, you don't have to copy down anything. It's in the handout. Right? I think my written English is much better than my spoken English, so there's no need for you to write down anything. Okay? Starting from page 18, yeah? 18, 19... 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24. Okay? So, there's no need to write out anything. Okay? Now, I think we talk about this, yeah? Because the church, obviously it's our church, believe that, yeah? The Spirit of God, the promised Spirit, is given in two period of time, and one is in the time of the apostle and the other one is in the time of is in our time basically, right? In the time of the true Jesus church. Okay, I think this has been taught, I have been taught from young or since young, you know, that the church, the true Jesus church, is the revival, is to revive the apostolic church. So we belongs to this Lateran. Okay, now I think it's important, you know, I think when we study the doctrine of the church or some important teaching in the scriptures, right, we need to adopt the mindset mentioned in in Acts chapter 17. We turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, we read verse 11. Yeah? These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Now, like what we have said before, you have been told the basic belief of the church, and what you should do now is to search into the scriptures to find out whether the belief that you have received, yeah, conform to the principle of the Bible or not. You need to do that yourself. Very important. Okay. Now, since we have been told that there are two period reigns, yeah, two period reigns, and one is the apostolic church, and the other one is what, the true Jesus church, yeah, and how can we prove that? I said, how can we prove that from the scriptures, right? I think is something that we need to do. Okay. Now, and also, we said that after the death of all the apostles, right, the apostolic church, yeah, begins to decline or deteriorate, yeah, and that's why it became a worldly organization, right? Now, sometimes we find it very difficult to verify these facts. How do we know? How can you find scriptural backup to confirm that the Spirit has left the church, You know what I'm saying? Now, obviously, if we can do that, it affirms our faith. You understand what I'm saying? Alright? Okay, so I'll spend a bit of time to talk about that. Now, first of all, you know that the Bible talks about rains, yeah? Now, according to the scriptures, you know, the rain is given, was given to the people, yeah? Under, put it this way, the giving of rain was under the control of God. Okay, in fact, this has been stipulated, well spelled out in the law of Moses. We turn to Leviticus, we turn to Deuteronomy first, yeah? Chapter 11. Deuteronomy. Chapter 11, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 11, we read verse 13 and verse 14, okay? Chapter 11, verse 13 and verse 14. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your hearts and with all your soul, verse 14, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. All right? Now, we find that the giving of the land, yeah, is conditioned upon what? The obedience of the peoples to the commandments of God. You see what I'm saying? Judging from verse 13 and verse 14. So if they fail to obey, then what happened? God has the power to withdraw, yeah, the rain. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Now, so even though we find that the rain is like a seasonal thing, okay, cyclical, yeah, but God can actually break the cycle of rain. You understand what I'm saying? That's why he can stop the rain from falling. Okay? Now, so the condition is that they must obey God, yeah, and love God. We also read Leviticus. Please turn to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26, we read verse 3 and verse 4. Verse 3 and verse 4. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruits. Now, all this produce or whatever represent the blessing of God, right? Or represents the presence of God with the community. Now, again, here is conditioned upon what? Their obedience to the commandments of God. So they must, yeah, teach themselves and their children to perform the commandments that the Lord has given to them. Right? Okay? Now, obviously, when you read, for example, this, what is that? First King, yeah? We turn to First King, chapter 16, yeah? Is it First King? Yeah, First King. 16, right? Now, from verse 29 onwards, here it talks about Ahab, yeah, who reigned in Israel. Okay, he was the king at the time. Now, if you read verse 30 and verse 31, here these two verses talk about the sin committed by Ahab. All right, and we find that his sin actually was very serious. He led the entire nation, yeah, to go against the command of the Lord. Now, as a result, when you start reading chapter 17, here Elijah came out to pronounce judgment upon the nation of Israel, saying that God would not, what? Shall not rain, or shall not give rain to them for 3.5 years. So the cycle of rains was broken. Why? Because of the disobedience of the people. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Now, we look at another example. Turn to Jeremiah. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 3, yeah? We can verse 2 again talks about their sins, right? The type of sins they committed. The main types of sin here is the idolatry, worshipping idols. Okay, now verse 3. Therefore, the showers have been withheld, and there has been no latter rain. You have had a harlot's forehead. You refuse to be ashamed. Will you not from this time cry to me, my father? You are the guide of my youth. Now, so I think here it gives another shared meaning. When God withheld the rain, basically is to chastise them, to remind them that they needed to turn back to God. Right? So that was the intention of God. Yeah, that's why no rain was given. And also, it proved that what God has said in the law of Moses, yeah, actually was very accurate and true. Alright? Okay, now, so we look at chapter 5 of the same book, chapter 5. Okay, we read verse 24. Verse 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 23 and verse 24. But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. Verse 24. They do not say in their hearts, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain both the former and the latter. In its season, he reserved for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Okay, again, here we can see the close connections between what? Stopping the rain and the disobedience of his people. Okay, inseparable. So, like the word of God, yeah, recorded in the law of Moses, yeah, began to unfold in the history of the chosen people. Okay, now, I want you to read one more example, yeah, before we come to the main part of the lessons. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 14. Yeah? Now, from verse 2, here it talks about, you know, Judah mourns, meaning a crying. Why? Because there was no water. Okay, if you read verse 3. Their nobles have sent their lads for water. They went to the cistern and found no water. They returned with their vessel empty. They were ashamed and confounded. Now, verse 4. Because the ground is parched, for there was no rain in the land. The plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. Right? Again, here is a form of punishment, and it was connected to their sin. Okay, you see now? So the connections here. Alright, now, how can we explain that the two periods of rain actually refer to the coming of the Spirit? Okay, I think that is the main questions. Right? Now, you know the early rain is from when to when? Early rain is from November to January. Yes. And the latter rain is from March to April. I think so. Before the summer comes. Right. And so two periods. In between there is like it's a period of winter. But occasionally, yeah, there are some wintry showers. Okay, now, okay, I want you to to look at the meaning of rain in the Bible. Does it associate to God or to the Spirit? Okay? Or to the Spirit of God? Okay. Now, I want you to read Psalms. We read verse 5 and verse 6, right? You see, that's why I said my brain is not functioning. I'm always one step ahead of my own brain. That's the problem. Okay, chapter 72. Now we read verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 5 and verse 6. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generation. Now verse 6. He shall come down. He obviously refers to God. Yeah? He shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that waters the earth. Right? Now, in his day, the right now. It's okay. Right? Now, so here we find that rain is what? Linked to God or is linked to the work of God, right? So, quite clear. Right? Now, we read the Hosea. Many verses to read. Okay, so today is Bible reading. Hosea chapter 6. Now we read verse 3. Chapter 6, verse 3. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. So he will come to us like the rain. Okay? So we find that the teaching of the church is not without basis. Right? So we can say that the Spirit refers to the rain. Right? Water is always linked. Is always a link to the Spirit of God. Okay. Like this what John chapter 4, this Samaritan woman. So she came to Jesus and Jesus said to her that he would give her water which would become a source of what? Living water from within her. Okay. Again, that is the Spirit of God. Okay. Now, so we have established that rain can refers to the Spirit. Okay. Now we are going to prove that there are two period of rains according to the scriptures. I mean, in a spiritual sense, the coming of the Spirit. Okay. Now I want you to turn to Psalms 107. There are some objects using the example that I'm going to quote, like land, city, vineyard, obviously rain, or water, rivers. Well. Produce. Look at it. Okay. So, now, just want to explain a bit first. This one can represent God's promise, yeah? And this one, community of God. Okay. These are the objects used in the example. Objects. Okay, now, it's all in the handout. Right, now, 107. Okay, pay careful attention to verse 33. Yeah? Here it says, he turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. Okay? A fruitful land into barrenness. Now, and then if you read verse 35, yeah, he turns the wilderness into pools of water. It's like he reverted, you know, what he did. You get what I'm saying? It's like God playing a game. Right? When he's happy, he turns it into river. When he's not happy, he turns it into a dry land. You know that kind of thing. Yeah, it seems, right? Now, that's why if you read verse 34 very carefully, the reason is given because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. Right? Now, so for this thing to turn from good to the bad, or from a state of perfection into a state of a ruinous state, is because of the wickedness of the people. So sin involved. Right? Now, so there are such examples in the Bible which still tell us that actually God, you know, is going to do something about, you know, people who sin against them. Right? Now, when you read verse 35, here he reverted what he did, yeah? He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water spring. Now, verse 36, there he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city, yeah? For a dwelling place, and sow field and plant vineyard, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. Right? Now, you may ask, How do we know that the Spirit is involved? Okay? Right? Now we read Isaiah. Okay, I want you to read Isaiah chapter 32. Now, it's very, very similar to Psalms 107, if you read from verse 12. Yeah? People shall mourn upon their breasts for the pleasant field, for the fruitful vine. On the land of my people will come up thorns and briar. Yes, all the happy homes in the joyous city. Because the palaces will be forsaken, the bustling city will be deserted, blah, 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 blah. Okay? Again? Yeah? How could this ruinous state be reverted? Verse 15 tells us, until the Spirit is poured upon. Can you see now? Okay? So, for this to be transformed, if I can put it this way, for this ruinous city or whatever to be transformed, requires the Spirit. Yeah? Requires the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now when you look at these two examples, yeah, from the perspective of the teaching of the church, early rain and latter rain, if these two examples actually fit to me 100% well. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, so before it was good, and because of the sin it turned evil, and then God re-established what he did before. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Now, when you look at the city, here it mentioned the city, yeah? In both, what? Psalms 107 and Isaiah chapter 32. Yeah? This is not a city of man, but a city of God, yeah? Now, whenever a city of God is mentioned, you have to look at it from the perspective of Psalms 46. Okay? Now please turn to Psalms 46. All right, we read from verse 4 to verse 5. Thank you.
Yeah, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, yeah, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Okay? Now, so this city of God is what? Is watered by a river. Okay? Put it this way. So it's like nurtured by a river. So this is the city of God. Obviously, we can set in our context refers to the church. When you look at Revelation, for example, yeah, the new Jerusalem from heaven, is it not so? With a river, yeah, flowing from the throne all the way. Okay? It represents what? God's presence or the Spirit of God. Can you see now? Okay? So from all this example, we can find that actually there are two periods of time where the Spirit of God would come. Okay? Now, I want you to look at the... I think turn to the handout is easier. So, turn to page... 22, the chart, yeah? Now I want you to refer to Isaiah chapter 5, yeah? And also I want you to look at Isaiah 27 at the same time. You have to think of a way to do that, okay? Read chapter 5 and at the same time chapter 27. This is the best way. Bend your Bible. The pages between 5 and 27. So this way. So you can read both. Okay? Now, I try not to talk about the historical context first. Yeah, I try to look at it from the perspective of the two period of reign. Okay, the establishment of the apostolic church and the end time true church. Okay, now, so when you read chapter 5, yeah, here it talks about a vineyard which was planted by God himself, right? Planted by God himself. Okay, you find that this vineyard was well watered or whatever, and God actually has done everything that he could, yeah, to make sure that it grow. Okay, now for some reasons, when you read verse 4, what more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? Alright? Now, obviously, we find that this vineyard is like eventually destroyed by God. God destroyed it altogether. Right? Now, so, when this actually coincides very well with the prophecy of Micah as well. I just write it down for the time being. We'll talk about it. Okay? Now, I want you to now look at chapter 27, right? Now, from verse 2 onward, God is going to do something about like the vineyard. In that day, sings to her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, keep it. I water it every woman, lest any hurt it. I keep it night and day. Fury is in me, blah, 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 blah. Okay? It's like this one is going to be a success. Right? Why? Because God himself shall be there to look after it. Now, obviously, when you look at chapter 5, it seems incomprehensible. You know, something that God has built for himself, and yet it's like it was destroyed. Yeah, it's like God did not have enough power to control it or whatever. But actually, like what we said before, we have to look at this because all the prophecy, if not all, most of the prophecy points to the church. It talks about the coming of the church. Okay? Now, let's look at the chart given in your handout. Yeah? Look at the chart, yeah? God took the initiative to build up the vineyard, and Jesus built up the church as the first outpouring of the Spirit. Yeah, and God equipped the church, whatever, you know, by giving the church the truth, blah, 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 blah. Now if you read the third column, yeah? God saw no justice and righteousness in the land. The church was full of corruption after the apostles. Actually, it's true. Even before all the apostles died, yeah? Like in the book of Revelations, we find that the seven churches were full of corruptions. At least five of them were full of corruptions. Right? So, in that sense, we find that the church like was deteriorating, right? Was declining in terms of moral standard. Okay. Now, so God decide to rain no water to the vineyard, give no water. So as we have studied before, the water represent what? Spirit of God. Spirit of God taken away. Now, look at chapter 5. Yeah? Chapter 5. We read verse 6. Yeah? I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that there rain no rain on it. Right? It's like become a wasteland, okay? a dead place. Okay. Now, so verse 7 it says the vineyard of the Lord refers to the house of Israel, the community. Right. So that is the apostolic church. If you look at it that way. Now, so when you look at chapter 27, and then here you can see a success. Right. Now, obviously, it's like the vineyard is replanted and praises are sung to her. Obviously, we know that the church came into existence at the downpour of the Spirit for the second time. Now, right? If you read 27, one of the things that God would do is to what? To fight against briars and thorns, eh? In verse 4. Now, when you look at the first vineyard, the problem is also because of what? Briar and thorns, right? Now, what do they represent? Okay, what do they represent? If you turn back to Isaiah chapter 32, Yeah, verse 13, it says how this thorns and briars actually like, you know, you conquered the entire city, occupied the entire city. Right? Now, when you read chapter 32, verse 13, yeah, right? So the main problem here is with thorns and briars. Okay? Now, so when you read Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, right? Thorns and briars represent what? Curse. Yeah, when God cursed the ground, right? After Adam and Eve sinned, right? Thorns and briar, you know, came up. You know, when man sinned against God, when man deviated from God, from the right path, and that is the result. Okay? Now, obviously, when you read the Hebrews chapter 6, yeah? Alright? Now, we find that when inaccurate teachings or heresies infiltrate the church, it's likened to thorns and briar as well. Okay, so when you look at the apostolic church, yeah, it's true that, you know, after the death of the apostle, what happened? The church was full of heresies, right? So, and in fact, it was heresies that caused the demise of the apostolic church. I'm talking about the earthly apostolic church. Okay, now, so in the second vineyard, it seems in chapter 27, God is going to do something very seriously about it. That is to prevent that from happening, even though at time, we still see that from the history of the true Jesus Church until now, from the day the church was established until now, we find that there have been this problem as well, recurrent problems. But thank God, yeah, God managed to rid of this heresy. So, you know, as workers of God, yeah, if you want to serve God, yeah, then you must really know the truth. And to make sure that this, if I can use the phrase, heretic incursion will not appear in the church. Right? First, we must not allow this heresy to conquer us, conquer our heart. Very important. Okay, we must be able to stand firm, and we must know what we believe in. Okay, so we have been given the Spirit to know the difference and to discern. Okay, now so when you read verse 4, the Lord shall fight briars and thorns and eventually burn them. Yeah, it's like total eradication. So the Lord shall empower the church, right? Now we also see that in this chapter 27, God is going to water the church, yeah, all the time. In verse 3, I the Lord keep it, I water it every moment, right? Meaning the presence of God shall be there, the Spirit shall be there, right? To help the church. Okay, so when you piece these two examples together and you understand that actually they are two periods, right? It's quite clear, right? Okay. Now, now we come to Micah. We turn to Micah. Now, I want you to read chapter 3 first, yeah? And then we read chapter 4. Chapter 3, we read... Verse 9 to verse 12, yeah? Now hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who uphold justice and pervert all equity. Verse 10, who build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity. The head judge for a bribe, her priest teach for pay, and her prophet divine for money. Yes. They lean on the Lord and said, is not the Lord among us? Now verse 12, therefore because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the temple like the bare hill of the forest. It's like here it talks about the destruction of Zion. Now, from the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, yeah, and Isaiah, Zion represents what? People of God. Those people whom God had redeem. Okay, now I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 74. There are many more verses to come. Enjoy flipping your Bible. Psalm 74, we read verse 2. Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, the tribe of your inheritance, which you have redeemed, this Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. So, Mount Zion here is not a physical mountain, it's a group of people whom God has redeemed. Okay? Now, sadly, when you read Micah, God is going to destroy Zion. Now, when you read Revelation, we know that God and 144,000 are in Mount Zion. Right? So, it represents the church. Okay, now we know that the church of God cannot be destroyed. You understand what I'm saying? But when you look at history, obviously people tell you, no, you see the church continue on. There's no destruction there. But because we have been, the church has been given understanding, when you look at it, after the Spirit has left because of corruption, obviously, spiritually speaking, the church was destroyed. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, come to chapter 4 of Micah. Here it talks about like the re-emergence of Mount Zion, yeah? Verse 1 to verse 3. Okay, so this mountain shall what? shall reappear and shall be exalted above all hills, yeah, and established on the top of the mountain. On the top of the mountain. Okay? So, two periods. After the destruction, the mountain was rebuilt. Put it this way. Can you see now? So, two periods. The rain. I passed my tongue, right? No, not yet. Is that clear? Okay, now we look at chapter 7, Micah chapter 7. We read 19, yeah? He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sin into the depths of the sea. Now, I think we always use this verse to talk about baptism in flowing natural source of water, right? This is prophetic in nature, right? Talking about how the sin will be dealt with in the future. And that for that reason, we have to baptize people in natural source of water. This is one of the verses that we used. Now, if you look at 19 very carefully, it says, he will again have compassion. It's like, you know, it has been used before, as somewhere down the line it has been lost. Okay? That's why this idea of dealing with the sin of his people has to be reintroduced. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? So, again, judging from this verse itself, it's like they are at least two times, two periods of time, that the church, you know, has adopted this method of eliminating sin. Okay, now, so this is briefly the two periods of rain. Yeah? Now, I will show you Joel later on. Yeah. Now, before that, you know, some people said, yeah, some people said, what about those who were born in between this two period, right? What would happen to them? Would they go heaven or would they go somewhere else? You know, sometimes this kind of question should not even be asked. I'm serious. Okay, let me show you an example in the Bible. Jesus did not even answer this kind of question. It's up to God, because it's God's choice. It's, we read the Gospel of Luke chapter 13. It's like the sovereign right is with God, and so we cannot question him, because he's the sovereign God. You know, that's why, to me, there are things that we cannot question. There's no way you can question. Chapter 13, yeah? We read verse 22. And he went through the city and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Verse 23. Then one said to them, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Yeah? And for many are... Okay. But it's like Jesus is not dodging the question. No. It's not. It's like this kind of question, yeah, is not to be asked. It's something God will deal with it. Okay, you get what I'm saying? Well, I think it's quite important. Right? Now, the question is, now the church has appeared before us. The rain has come already. What are we going to do? That is the more important question we have to ask. What are we going to do? Is that we go to Africa to serve. Good. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Okay. That's it. Any question? And then the next session I will talk about Joel. Okay, I want you to turn to page 24. I think there's a typo error. You know the first paragraph, yeah? It's Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 24. It's not Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 25. I think it should be Jeremiah 5 24. Third line. You know the quotation given is Jeremiah 3 25. I don't think so. I think it's Jeremiah 5 24. Eh? Yes, 5:24. Okay, that's it. Let's say a silent prayer.